Hi, this is Billy Sims. When I want to spice up my barbecue, I always listen to Chris and Case on the Detroit Lions broadcast show.
Lions with it, second and goal from the eight, down six, but on the move. Chris, working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Case in the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions! That's it, packs the bag, starts the plane, this game is over! How big is that? And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast, your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who have never dropped a Matthew Stafford pass, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 162. This is the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris. And with me is a man who's been dashing from place to place, the Riz. How you doing, my man?
I'm glad to be with you, Chris. I'm remote. I'm on location this week, but
we're going to get this done. Which location? You've been all over.
I'm at my parents' house suburban Cleveland. So having a good time with my family. Went out to Kelly's Island today for those people who know the Lake Erie Islands. And now I'm back chilling, trying to get some work done.
I'm sure Case will be coming down to visit any time now.
Absolutely.
All right. Today's show, we got Jim Caldwell is back. Or is he? What's going on? There's news about Jim, and we got to follow up on that. Fantasy football is live. The positions are dwindling. We are looking for some IDP lovers to come out and play, but we have some openings in each of the leagues, but they're getting smaller and smaller. Make sure to get in now. Join the Fantasy Football League and get some big money. Don't forget also, August 4th, this Friday, after we are recording the Detroit Lions podcast training camp party live broadcast. A lot to talk about there. And Golden Tate's contract, the range might be set. We got a lot to talk about. Training camp's underway. All the good stuff's happening. It's a great show. Riz, you ready to go, my man?
Let's do this.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple of quick announcements. First, check us out and help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
Guam.
Wow. And of course, the very first donor, Mathis. He's going to be at the party. Can't forget about Mathis. Brian B. from I Prevail. He's there as well. iPrevailBand.com. Check them out. They are rocking. Got some good stuff coming out soon. If you want to join the Patreon crew, help us out. Get access to some new content. And Patreon people, if you're there and you haven't checked your messages, check some. There's a big slew of stuff heading your way right now. It's patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, click on that Patreon link. There's some goodies coming out, some discounts coming out, some special stuff for you Patreon people, and a special Slack channel. So, you guys, it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah.
But I'm not even on the Slack channel.
I think we're going to let you in this one, Riz. This one, even though you're not a Patreon guy, it'll be part of your pay. How about that?
There you go. I can live with that.
All right. So check your messages, Patreon people. If you're not there, all it takes is $1 a month to get on board and join the crew. And you get access to all the wicked new stuff that's coming around. Also, give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and on the Twitter Maker, Twitter Machine at DETLionsPodcast. It's DETLionsPodcast, the very best place to see the Riz.
Well, I have pants on today because I'm at my parents' house, so.
Ma! Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Get those subscriptions in. The post-game shows are coming there now live. We'll have video. We'll have all kinds of great stuff. You're not going to miss it. Get the subscription and get notified when we're on the air. Make sure to rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find us. We've been getting a couple of really great ratings and have to say thank you to all you guys. They're funny, they're fun, they're really exciting to read, and all you folks that have been leaving those, we really, really appreciate it. It means a lot, and it helps us out a lot. It helps us kind of kick up to where other people can find us and see us and experience all the love and joy that comes from a podcast such as the Detroit Lions Podcast. As a matter of fact, we got a great review from one Ken in Brandon. Chris and Case are the best, and the Riz is always a great compliment. So, hey, the Riz. And guests are top-notch, blend seamlessly with a smart, funny crew. I got to make sure this is ours. Okay. Gold standard for Lions info. These guys set the bar high, best with their pants off. Sorry, Ma. They're coming off now. All right. Give us a call via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. Detroit Lions Podcast. It's all one word. Or call us on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Leave us a message. You can get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review This Week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And boy, it's jam-packed with news this week. Camp is open. The vets are there. The rookies are finally out from under their rocks. And we're going to first, right away, slide ourselves over to our NFL. I don't know why, but it just seemed like the first thing we want to talk about. Targeting.
It's what everybody's talking about in every subreddit and every radio show.
Yes. This one, it was called out in the Lions subreddit by Star Infection. He got a link over to RNFL. The targeting conversation. And it was called out over. This is pretty interesting. I'll kind of give you the context here, Riz, and then we can talk about the rule itself. But Devil Driving, a Texans fan, called it out. Now, it's going to screw over the Lions somehow and never get called again on any other team. And Zappy47 came in during a Packers game. Also, it'll get called one more time in favor of New England. Well, the Lions and New England are playing. They could get it all in one here, right, Riz?
they very well could. If it'll somehow benefit Green Bay.
Oh, why did you make me laugh like that? Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. What? Just a refresher for those that maybe took the summer off and are starting to get back into it, Riz. What are we talking about here? What's this crazy targeting thing? I thought that was a college problem.
Well, the college problem has spread to the NFL, as most things do.
Contagion.
So basically, when you see what has happened with college, where if you lower your helmet, and I'm doing it right now, Chris, for Chris's benefit, and those of you watching on local access TV.
Wait, what's this solar panel for a sex machine on your hat? No, go ahead, anyway.
See, look at that. Beautiful hair up there. So anyways, if you lower your head and initiate contact with your head down, even if you don't necessarily hit the player like above the shoulders or in helmet to helmet, I'm trying to think of an example from last year of an obvious play where it happened. And I can't really think of one, but
Just about any time the running back was trying to get 3 yards or less, he kind of put his head down and ran at the line and hoped to find a breakthrough hole.
Yes. Dwayne Washington running through a hole with his head down and running into defenders head first. That could, in all seriousness, be called against him as a penalty. The big thing is for linebackers, safeties, and defensive linemen who are making an initial hit with somebody with the ball and their head is down. It's a reaction to what happened to Ryan Shazier.
Right.
And there's been a couple other players. DJ Swearinger is a guy who's had multiple concussion issues from dropping people with his head and then celebrating over them. And he's an idiot. Glad he's not in Detroit. Mm-hmm. So they're going to enforce this. The problem is, and they did this at, I think it was Eagles. Yeah, it was Eagles camp. And they showed it to the Eagles, and the officials that were there, there are game NFL officials at every training camp throughout the time.
To help the teams figure their way
through. Yes, they are. They're also learning, and there are officials being trained at the training camps as well.
You know what? I hate to sidetrack Riz and jump in. I'm going to get Blandino on the next show to tell us what they're doing. Give us a little bit of depth on that.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
We'll get him on and talk to him.
Great. Hopefully he can explain the rule too.
Yeah.
But the problem is that, so they showed video clips to the Philadelphia Eagles players, and they were asked the players, you know, do you think this is a penalty now? Is this foul or is this not a foul? And the officials that were in there disagreed on whether it was a foul or not.
Oh, no.
Like one of them thought it was, the other one was like, no, I'm not throwing a flag on that. Mm. And so the players and Brian Dawkins, who is very high up in the players or association, the NFLPA. I don't know if he's a president or not. Doesn't matter. But he's very active in it. And his take was that the officials don't know. How are we supposed to know? How are they going to define this because it is a subjective call.
Yep.
And there's so many, you know, little things with it. It's actually to go around the division real fast. Roquan Smith is not signed in Chicago precisely because of this rule, because they're worried he's going to get called for it. He got called for three penalties, targeting penalties in college for this. They want it if he gets suspended that he voids some guaranteed money from this particular rule. He doesn't want to do that. That's why he's holding out.
And just so everyone knows, we weren't going to do around the division, but Riz just decided to say.
So it's all good.
So there we are.
You got to do what you got to do sometimes. So this is not, this is a league-wide thing. This is not a Detroit thing, although it will definitely come back and screw us somehow. That's just how things work.
Yeah.
It's basically just, it's a new rule enforcing more strictly than the old rule with officials. And keep in mind, all the officiating crews are completely jumbled up because Gene Steratore is gone. Jeff Triplett, you know, thank God is gone. Yeah. But you don't know that his replacement's going to be any better. I don't know how it could be worse.
Devil you know.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of transition in the officiating world. And so now you've got new officials coming up, and some of them are from college. The SEC and the Mountain West were much more apt to throw these flags on this than the Big Ten, the MAC. So it varied from conference to conference how high they enforced it. It's just a giant cluster, man.
Yeah.
It really is.
I guarantee in the review, some Sunday, we're going to hear.
Hey, Dean Blandino here, and I can tell you unequivocally that call was 100% wrong.
Yep, straight up. And it's going to be during the Lions, so I'll get used to it, and we'll see what's happening. We'll talk to him next week and see what else we can find out and maybe how they're moving to try to get their arms around this to make it right. Let's look at a little positive light in camp right now. This is from C. Strasser 1 in the subreddit. Carry on Johnson. I'm not sure if you've heard the name before, Riz. He's supposed to be lighting it up in camp. And, I mean, he evidently they're saying he's pursuing yards like prey. Now, I don't know if they mean like he's like prey, like pursuing yards, or he's the hunter looking for the yards.
Do you want him to be the hunter or the hunted?
I feel like the hunter.
Do you want him to be the cheetah, or do you want him to be the gazelle? I mean, either one's better than what we've had, you know, playing dead along the side of the road.
Yeah, usually what we've had is the roadside possum, right? Yeah. Sorry, Amir.
That's why we're here. So, yeah, I've heard very good things about Kerryon. Disclaimer, I haven't been to camp yet. I've been to Browns camp. But I'm paying close attention to all the reports coming out of there. I have talked to a couple people on the phone actually for an hour yesterday, somebody who was there. So I got some good information on what it is. And Kerryon is legit. Nice. He's seeing the hole. He's attacking the hole. And he's getting through the hole without wasting time or motion. That's the exact phrase that I got from somebody who's been watching camp every day. I'm very happy to hear that.
Yeah, that's a big one. We have a lot riding on Kerryon this year. Blunt went out hurt. He's back. No big deal. Jones went out hurt. No big deal. Twitter was on fire both times. Twitter's always on fire, though, so it doesn't matter.
You know, and some of that is the reactionary part, because when we are at team facilities, and I know this is true with the Lions, you're not allowed to tweet out any indication of severity of injury until the club discloses it. Mm-hmm. So you just say, player X left on a cart. Nice. And it could be just because he had in Cleveland, Caleb Brantley, the defensive tackle, left camp twice in the same day on a cart because he got cramps. We couldn't write that. We couldn't report that. We couldn't tweet that out. Otherwise, they'd throw us out. That's part of our media contract.
That's part of the credentials, right? So yeah. So
we have to be deliberately vague on those situations.
Eamon, you may want to get my credentials going here.
Yeah. The player now, interestingly, if you're not credentialed, you're free to do this.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
There is some advantage to those who do attend. I know Kent Platt does this on purpose. He likes doing that. He likes being there without credentials. And I understand why he does it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for reals.
But like the guy in Carolina, he broke his leg. Their cornerback, Daryl, who was it? Can't think of his name. He was going to be their starting cornerback. Mm-hmm. He said, my leg snapped. but the guys who were there couldn't report that. But like the fans who were around it were like tweeting out, "Oh my God, he said his leg snapped." But the reporters who were standing there right next to him were like, "We can't go that."
Yeah,
that's too bad. That's be wary when you hear about those things. They are going to be wildly overcautious with anything that happens in camp at all.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
So you want to hear to check the report afterwards. One of the things that we do is when we're standing in front of Matt Patricia or the coaches, whoever's in front, we ask them about the injuries that happened during the day. And they are supposed to give us some indication of severity of injury. Is it something that, you know, "Oh, he'll be back tomorrow, no problem"? Is it, "Well, we're going to have him check out in the morning"? Or is it, "Oh, we're dead"? You know,
that's the big thing. Hopefully not that one. That's the extreme example. Luckily, we haven't seen that, but a couple times in Lions history.
From all I've heard from the media guys who have been in Allen Park, Patricia is pretty forthcoming on what's up with guys.
Right. I think mowing the lawn is the most dangerous thing that a Lion can do at this point, at least to get to that point. But no, yeah, Patricia, everything I've seen from Patricia has been really, really good. Injuries too, and look, they don't want to talk about him, but he's been pretty good about what he has shared. But God, he's looked good out there. We'll talk about him a little more in a bit, but I'm even higher on the pick than maybe I once was. Speaking of coaches though, we've got to get in touch. We've got, you know, look, Jesus is on the main line here. Jim Caldwell hired by the XFL. I mean, look, if you want extreme, where would you go? You go Jim Caldwell. You get him out there. You get fireworks. You got lit. I think kind of his role is just going to be stand there with the glasses on and like maybe be like the statue in front of the stadium or something.
McMahon coming out. This is the XFL. His balls are swinging back and forth. He's got strippers on both knees, arms. Yeah.
Now,
pinatas of naked people and footballs. And then there's Grandpa Jim.
Here's the thing. The XFL, look, and it said so in the article, you know, before they were wild and extreme and crazy over the top. And they were. Absolutely, they were. And maybe, you know, they're trying to pull it back. And Jim Caldwell, maybe they're pulling it back too far, right? Here's where I'm at. Especially with football, whatever. When I was growing up, if you watch movies and stuff like everybody does, when I was growing up, there was one with Richard Dawson called The Running Man. That was the future that I was promised. Why in the hell is Jim Caldwell being hired for the damn XFL? Where's my Running Man? What is this XFL? It is nothing like it's supposed to be.
The Running Man.
And he promised Maria that to Conchita me.
Alonso was in that. She was smoking
Day. Oh God, yeah. Oh. I had based my whole life on preparing for that future, and here I sit and just disappointed. Just absolutely Jim disappointed. Caldwell,
and being the coach in the XFL. You know, this is they have the XFL coming back, AFFL, that also has a lot of former NFL people in it, notably Bill Polian, they're both going to be competing. They're going for the same niche of trying to be the upstart it's not even taking away from the NFL. It's sort of siphoning off some fans when the NFL isn't playing and taking advantage of football's immense popularity.
Mm-hmm.
And because the XFL has the interesting branding, for better or for worse, because people are pretty polarized about Vince McMahon.
Everyone's got to see the air quotes around interesting though. Definitely, we're adding the video soon, man. Cause they got
yes. Yes. So I'm curious as to which one of them gets on the field first. Actually, if either does, I'm curious what type of players they'll get. I'm curious what type of how much coaching autonomy Jim Caldwell will get with running his team. One of the things that the XFL promises you is that they're not going to, like, if Lawrence Phillips were coming out today, he'd go to the XFL. They wouldn't care.
It's like his whole, like the whole team's going to be fed a half a bottle of Xanax before the game. This is the opposite of what the XFL is supposed to be. So, whatever. Best.
Yeah. Good luck for, you know what?
Godspeed, Jim Caldwell. Godspeed.
As you know, I do like Jim Caldwell. I thought he was a good coach.
Yeah, he's a good man. He's a very good man.
And I was actually on the air this morning. I was in, New Mexico. I was talking about the Lions. And they wanted to know what the difference was between Jim Caldwell and Matt Patricia. And I said, well, Jim Caldwell, he's like the church deacon, you know, happy, you know, but dour uncle standing in the corner.
Yeah,
and,
that's good.
Matt Patricia's the guy that you take with you into the Amon Amarth concert. Yeah.
That's a very good analogy. Very well done. All right. Well, either way, they're both fanatics. Oh, what did I say? Fanatics? Oh, my gosh.
Is that a segue?
It's not. It's a terrible juxtaposition, but I'm going with it. It might not even be a juxtaposition. Maybe I misused the word and should run a segue. Anyway, look, you guys are getting your swag. It's time. I did it again, Riz. I can't get away from this place. But, you know, we're one of their number one referrers, the Detroit Lions podcast.
We're number one.
We're always number one, baby. And because of that, they've hooked us up with a bunch of gift cards to give away at the party. We'll talk more about the party later. But that's the relationship we've got with the guys at Fanatics. We've had hats. We've got these. And there's a good future, a good relationship being built. And it's because you guys are heading over there from DetroitLionsPodcast.com. You're clicking on that shop link or on the hamburger menu on mobile or on the regular menu on your computer. And then you're going and buying your Lions gear. And it's really, really awesome. They give us a little kickback. And now they're giving us stuff to give away to you guys. And it's really, really fabulous. It's all because of the support you guys have shown, and it's really because your passion for the team and the Lions. This is stuff you were going to do, but you did it through our link instead, and we much love for that. But you get to go out and show your stuff, and it goes back to the story I told last podcast. Will Lions Life on Twitter put that flag out in front of his house, and he got a ton of love for doing that. And it was like, you know what? This is it. This is show your swag time. Get out there. This is head of the season. New coach. You got training camp now. You're coming up on the preseason. A lot of love and excitement for this team. We've got a running game. We'll talk a little bit about what that passing game brings. What this offense could really look like here. It's a great time to show your love for the Lions. And you know what? This is the way to do it. Go on down. Get to Detroit Lions Podcast. Head on over from there to Fanatics and buy your stuff. And then tweet it at us with the show your tag, hashtag, tweet, and we'll get you out. We'll retweet you, let other people see it. But go get your stuff out there and show people how much you love the team. And it kind of leads a little bit, Riz, into this. You know, we asked for origin stories, and the kind of show your swag is kind of with that. Like, how did you become a fan? The whole thing. And this is a combination of the guy's, his origin, Lions fandom origin story, and his showing off his swag and the whole thing. Check out this story. This is a good one. It's a call from Alex.
Hey, my name's Alex. I don't know if you guys are still doing the Detroit Lions origin story for fans, but just bought my season opener tickets, and it made me think of where this all started. I actually grew up in Minnesota with a Vikings heavy family, at least on my mom's side. My grandpa had generations of it. But my brother Danny and my dad were both from Detroit. I'll never forget the date. It was, November 6th. I was just sitting in seat six. It was right before the game started. Me and my brother Danny, we snuck onto the field. I really don't know how we got away with this, but we ended up sneaking on the field. We were on the Viking side, and we kind of snuck around the end zone to the other side. And at the time, I just got it was my brother bought me a jersey for that game. So him and I were really the only people on the field that weren't players wearing Lions jerseys. And one of the staff, one of the coaching staff from the Lions saw us and walked up to us. And he said exactly that. And, you know, my brother Danny, he's like, so you guys from Detroit? My brother Danny was like, yeah, I grew up there. You know, I lived in Troy for a while. Then we moved out here. And he's like, you know, just this first time him wearing, you know, he's referring to me. He's like, first time him ever wearing a Lions jersey. And I'm trying to make him a fan. Guy takes a football and hands it to me. And he goes, now he's a fan for life. Ever since then, me and my brother, I've been diehard Lions fans. We're 20 years apart from each other, but it's the one thing that brings us so close together. And we're going now on a 6-year tradition of going to every home opener in Detroit. Love listening to you guys. We usually road trip, so obviously we listen to you guys on the way there. So, you guys have a good one. Go Lions.
Yeah, that's a pretty good story, right, Riz?
I mean, cool. I like that.
Snuck on the field, wasn't drunk, didn't do it naked, wore his Lions swag, and one of the coaches tossed him a ball. That's a pretty sweet deal all the way around, right?
I'm excited. I wish that happened to me.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to try the Thanksgiving game. You think I can get away with it? You think I'm small enough to sneak my way in there?
You're kind of conspicuous. I mean, yeah. Good luck with that.
Thanks. Okay, whatever. I'll do it the nude, greased up, drunk way. That'll work. That's the other way to do it. All right, we'll move on. Show your swag, hashtag, on the Twitter. Show us your stuff, and don't forget to get it from Fanatics from DetroitLions.podcast.com. All right, let's talk a little bit about Coach Patricia. This one is from Acid Brain Drops in the sub, and he's talking about Coach Patricia is making his own path. And I got to tell you, I'm liking him more and more and more. He really does look like a great fit, perfect fit with Quinn. We talked about that was probably Quinn's plan from the very beginning. I had my little side love affair with Brent McDaniels, but I came back. I came back, right? You always got to do that after you maybe test the waters a little bit. You always got to come back home. And then here we are, and Patricia just looks solid. And I got to tell you, one of the things I like, and every year they talk about it. I remember when they were talking about when Mariucci was the coach. Oh, yeah. The 4 points of contact, right? That's what he's teaching. They talk about like what they're teaching in the offseason or what they're doing that's special, right? And it's always a story. But one of the things he's doing is he's saving the hard work and the real running for the end of practice and watching these guys in a position where they're tired and they're stressed and getting made even more tired and how they make decisions and training them and coaching them. It's kind of like that hill you saw and do your job for the Patriots, right? Making them do it, making them use their mental faculties while they're exhausted. And I like that. I think that can be trained into people. I don't think that just happens naturally. I think you can get better at that. What do you think, Riz?
Look at who the coaches are who believe in that philosophy. Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, Nick Saban, Urban Meyer. These are really good freaking coaches.
All guys who lost their team. They've all lost their teams.
Exactly. You go back. That was a big thing for. I'm thinking of the Cowboys coach. All I can think of was Bobby Hill because he goes Tom Landry. I'm a huge King of the Hill fan. That's a documentary, by the way, for anybody who's never been to Texas. Tom Landry was big on that. If you've ever watched the Junction Boys, like on HBO back in the day, they would do their thing. They would do it at the end of 2-a-days. They would sprint in the heat with no water. Obviously, you can't do that anymore because people will die, and that's bad.
Water wasn't good for you. It slowed you down back then. It was bad water.
You don't need no water.
We used to do that to the kids in California and Pop Warner. I'm surprised it took so long for people to start dropping dead in football. I mean, God.
Yeah, we joke about that, but this is the 19th anniversary of Corey Stringer's passing.
Yep.
That sucks, man.
Yeah, absolutely. If there's anything good, though, to take away, there was a significant pivot on watching the health of players in practice and games and so on. It was a point that really changed the focus of the game. So as horrible and sad as that was, I mean, it's turned into something that's been really good for a lot of people.
It has been, yeah. And it's unfortunate that it took his life to do it. But I think the players, most NFL players, and I think most fans would be surprised at how much the NFL players want to be coached and they want to be driven. They want to be the best that they can be. And if people are going to, if coaching is going to help them achieve that, hell yeah, bring it on. I'll do whatever you want me to, coach. Make me a bigger star. Make me help me win. Help us win. Help us come together and win. That's what you're here for.
I never quite got that out of Eric Ebron, though. Why do I keep going back? Sorry. That's a well I got to go to for a while still. So.
He's. Did you see this week he came out and praised Stafford a lot?
Well, yeah. Look at who's throwing at him.
Well, the exact quote was, somebody asked him the differences between Stafford and Andrew Luck. He's like, from what I've seen, they're the same person. And I might have been the only person who took that as an insult to Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whoa. But then he talked about how Stafford, like, he's got a cannon and talked up big time, talked up his leadership.
Yeah. Which was brilliant. He's not good in that situation anyway. You got to take anything he says with a grain of salt. He's just not well trained for that. No. And
from what I understand from Colts people, he's doing well, but he has had a couple of frustrating drops. And, if you're a fantasy player, Jack Doyle's probably going to get more targets.
Yeah,
saying
and I'm fantasy people. My prediction is you'll never see him in the booth. Okay, so we'll move on. Let's talk a little bit about this team. And this occurred to me. This is Detroit Lions podcast post in the subreddit that never made it to the subreddit, but something I've been thinking about here. And I want you to you can critique me on this, Riz, but I'm looking at our offense right now, and it's not the same, right? You know, I'm a system guy. Like when I think of things, yes. I think of them more in a broad context and how they interact and work together, right? And everyone wants to talk about the defense right now, but I'm getting a sense, a feeling. This isn't run and shoot world, okay? But if you throw yourself back to the early '90s when you had Herman Moore, Brett Perriman, and Johnny Morton on the field, they were all I could think of is the throbbing threes. They were killer as a triplet of receivers, right? Those three were excellent. Brett Perriman, he is underrepresented in the love of Lions fans.
He's very underappreciated in the football.
Yeah, absolutely. And Johnny Morton was just really, really good in that offense, right? You had those three guys, and look, it was Perriman and Moore were the top two, right? But Johnny Morton was darn good. And then in the backfield, who was that guy that was running at the time?
I think he wore number 20.
Yeah. Billy Sims? No. Barry, that was his name. Barry something or other. Yeah. He was in the backfield. And so you had a running game, and you had three really, really good receivers. I'm not saying we got Barry Sanders and Kerryon Johnson, right? We don't know what we have in the backfield yet, although all signs point to really good. But if you look at our two receivers, our two number ones, when you know your Perriman and Moore today, right? You look at Marvin Jones and you look at Golden Tate, and it's like, wow, that's a real good pair. That's a top pair of receivers in the league. And then you look at Kenny Golladay, and he doesn't have to be the massive star that so many people I think are thinking he needs to be. He's just got to be. He could probably be as good as he was last year, or just show slight improvement. And you've got a massive triple threat. His speed. You know, he's a situation, if he gets just a little better, he's a guy that they're going to put one of the top cornerbacks on, or they're going to double cover, and then you got Tate and Jones open. It creates a serious problem for the defense, especially with a guy like Kerryon or Blount in the backfield. I'm just looking at this right now, right? And that was the, again, it's a throwback kind of consideration, but that was the comparison that popped out in my head. You really have a lot of threats on the field, and it's going to be hard to defend with the quality of those players.
You're going to his emergence will make you pick your poison on what you want to do defensively. You're going to have to declare what your safety is going to do. It's going to be done before the snap because they're going to have to rotate around. Hopefully, Jim Bob Cooter realizes that motion is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Incorporate some of that so Stafford and the receivers themselves can see what's coming at them better. There's no reason not to. I love the idea of him playing outside Golden Tate. With Marvin on the other side, you put Theo Riddick offset in the backfield. If the linebacker is in the box, you motion him out, get him out the box, and you have Kerryon or LeGarrette back there, either one. That's your base offense. I love that.
Can I give you your second offense?
Yeah.
You got so you can pick your poison between the four with Kerryon, Blount, Ameer Abdullah, or Theo Riddick. You pick any two of them, and you run the wishbone.
No, that would be fun. I would love that.
Look, yeah, no, Tom. I don't know why, but I, you know, they talk about trick plays and other stuff. I just have this sense that you could run a wishbone player to a season and catch another team completely off guard and completely just rack up some yards.
I love the idea of doing it as a goal line formation.
Yeah. Oh man, I loved that offense. I absolutely loved it. It's been gone long enough.
It has been a lot of offense. I bet Jim Bob Cooter hasn't seen it.
Yeah, you're right. You're probably right.
I bet Matt Patricia hasn't seen it. He's what, 40 years old?
Yeah. Not even. Yeah, yeah.
42 maybe? That went away like 70s. In the late 70s, yeah. early 80s.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I do remember Oklahoma and in Houston and Rice and Arkansas running it all the time.
So fun.
The old SWC conference, yep. Man, they all ran it.
So if you guys see it,
years and years and years.
If you guys see it, you remember episode 162. We called it first. I don't really expect it. But God, I think it would catch some teams flat-footed. I think they could really do something with that.
That would be fun.
I don't know.
But anyway. One of the keys to having that is having a deep threat that you have to have that guy on the outside. And if you watch Air Force's, I guess Air Force runs it. Mm-hmm. If you watch Air Force's offense, they always have one big guy on the outside who can run really fast. They throw in the ball four times a year, or maybe. Actually, I know one of the guys.
And three of them are in practice.
When they played at Michigan, they had their guy who ran He runs a 7 or a 9 route every play, never expects to get the ball. And they run the ball 85-90% of the time. But you have to have that. Gallaudet is perfect as that guy.
Yeah.
As the outside speed guy who can win against a smaller corner, but can also get down the field fast enough that the safety isn't going to get there if he's looking for a run.
Yep.
And I think that's Gallaudet's biggest role with the Detroit Lions, is when Matthew Stafford, who is a wizard at play action, does some play action and holds that safety for a count. Gallaudet's faster than Marvin Jones. He's going to get down the field further. And remember, Marvin led the NFL in yards per catch last year.
Right.
And not a lot of that was yak.
So
those deep targets, if you've got two of those guys, if they're playing single high safety, where's he going to go?
And
what's he going to do? And if he commits too early, you got Golden Tate coming underneath. You got Theo Riddick coming out of the backfield. You got Kerryon Johnson, a wizard on draw plays.
And
there's
just so many
options. That's going to be a whole lot of fun. And to your point of Gallaudet not necessarily having a lot of production, he doesn't need to make a big impact on the field.
Exactly. And then add to that the little thing you have called Stafford windows, right? How he can get that ball in there to these guys. I'm telling you, look, I made the comparison before. The one thing that was always missing from that team was the quarterback. Right. In those years, Scott Mitchell, who unfortunately holds yard records, I think maybe even still, that was what we had. And you have something completely different now. And I, like I said, I'm a kind of a broader systems kind of thing guy. But I really see this as very similar to that with a couple of improvements. Again, I'm not saying we have Barry Sanders, but I don't think we need Barry Sanders in order to be able to execute and put out a pick your poison and just pick people apart. I absolutely believe we're going to be able to do that.
I think if we had James Stewart or even the healthy Orlandis Geary, we'd be okay.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit. We're talking about the wide receivers. We didn't touch too hard on Golden there. And it looks like the market might have been set today, I think it was. Stephon Diggs on the Vikings signed a 5-year, $72 million contract with $40 million guaranteed. Holy shamoleons. Is that what Golden's going to get?
So he's got 5 and 72 with $40 million guaranteed. Jarvis Landry in Cleveland got 5, 75.5. I think it's 44.5 guaranteed. I would put Golden Tate between those, and Golden's better than both of those guys after the catch.
Yeah. Oh, there's no question. After the catch, he's one of the best. The issue with
Golden is he's going to be what? He's 30 now. So he's going to try to cash in, and he's going to want guaranteed more than he wants years in cash.
Yep.
So he might sign for, what's the average here? The average on that is what? 14 million, 14.5 million.
Yeah.
Give him, what's 14.5 times 3? 44. Give him 3 years, $44 million with 35 guaranteed. 14. That's what he's going to get. In essence, there might be more years and money on the contract, but that's what he's going to get.
Yeah.
Is Detroit going to give him that? Who knows? Nobody knows, including Detroit and including Golden Tate, who does not have – when he says that I'm not thinking about that yet, I mean – he's got his mind on his money and his money on his mind, but it's down the road. He's playing for this year right now.
Yeah, for reals. Because this.
So I don't understand the sentiment that he's going to dog it because he doesn't want to get
paid
before he gets paid. Well, if he gets hurt,
they're going to say he's 30 and he lost a step, right? He's 30 and he lost a step. He's not going to do that. He's going to go out there and give it his all.
That's what's happening to Dez Bryant. That's why his ass is still on the street.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's going to give it his all. And I think he's going to. Based on his performance, he's going to definitely earn his money. Whatever he gets, he'll have earned after playing this year. And I hope he gets an absolutely wonderful deal. I hope it's something that keeps him with the Lions, but I also hope that they don't just destroy the future and the cap to hold on to him. I love my Lions players, but one thing I've learned over time since the days well before Johnny Morton, you can't get too attached to a guy because it's a business and it's a business first. So.
And you do have to be acknowledged. And I'll say this to go around the division again. Minnesota got Stephon Diggs for below what they thought they were going to have to sign him for.
Yeah.
So bad news from that.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, for sure.
It is. I love that guy. I want that guy to come to the party.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That would be so good. All right.
whisper that in my ear all night.
Oh, I'll do that. Don't worry. That's just me after a couple of beers. All right. Well, you don't need your $40 million guaranteed contract to head on over to Amazon and do your shopping, right? Or to get a couple seats to a football game. Now, that's a segue there. That right there was that was top shelf.
Nice.
Hey, radio guys, my resume is available if you're looking for something. Anyway, you don't. it's a great deal. Amazon is where, you know, I get most of my stuff there. I told you I've now got a Fanatics habit. I've had an Amazon habit. You know, they show you how long you've been a customer there, Riz. I've been a customer with Amazon since 1998. That's how early I bought into that stuff. Yeah, it's crazy.
I wasn't even aware that the internet existed at that point.
Yeah. I can be known as a nerd sometimes. But anyway, that aside, head on over to Detroit Lions Podcast, click on the shop link, or use that hamburger menu on your mobile and click on the shop at Amazon link or at SeatGeek if you want to get your tickets to any of the preseason games or any of the regular season games. Give big thanks to somebody, but you head on over, you do it that way, and it takes you straight to Amazon or SeatGeek to buy your stuff. And just like at Fanatics, they give us a kickback for being the guys that sent you over there. All you folks that use it, we thank you from the bottom of our heart. It pays for all these things that we do here and helps us innovate and get better at what we do and get you great content and great stuff. So thank you, everyone. Don't forget, if you're going to go to Amazon or you're going to buy seats to anything, music, sporting events, anything you want to do, head on over to SeatGeek. If you're going to buy anything else that isn't Lions paraphernalia, it's at Amazon, but you get those links. You go straight from DetroitLionsPodcast.com, and that works it out. I have to tell you, I was seriously thinking about going to the Lions game, or the Lions game, derp, the Miami game this year as one of the things that I was going to do, and I've been waiting for Eamon to get back with me, Eamon. Anyway, I was thinking about heading down there, and I was looking at SeatGeek. I'm trying to put it together. I'm going to the Thanksgiving game. I'm going to the game in Tampa, the preseason game. I got a couple I'm going. I'm like, man, I don't know if I can peel this one out. And Mike F. hit me with a note. I may have an opportunity to get in down at the game in Miami. He's got a pretty cool deal set up. So, Mike, thanks a million. You've got me absolutely stoked from that email, and he's a Patreon guy. Not only is he a Patreon guy, but he may have a hook for me. So that's I just want to give him a call out and a thanks and some publicity, because that was
probably the cool. Most likely win on the Lions Road schedule all year.
Yeah, you're right. It may be the most likely one. And so as that pawns out, I'll talk more about it, because I'm going to have to, if it all works, it's I'm going to do the equivalent of what we do in Call of Duty and start teabagging listeners, because it's a pretty cool deal he's got laid out for me. If it works, I'm pretty fucking stoked. Anyway, okay,
we'll keep going. I'm morbidly curious about this game.
Oh yeah, it's a sweet deal. So speaking of gaming, oh my goodness gracious, we've got one on the Reddit. It was posted by the almighty GB Solo 12. And you know who Ninja is, Riz? Are you familiar? Or is this beyond your children and yours kind of realm of understanding?
I'm aware of what ninjas are.
No. There's a guy. He's an e-famous guy. And this e-famous thing is a new thing. It's not our generation necessarily, but it's...
Is it like a Kardashian thing?
No. So he's a gamer, and he's probably the world's best Fortnite player, okay? And in the game, they have something called the Chug Jug. But he's also a giant Lions fan. And he's got... It might be a little lighter than Lions, but he's got the blue in his hair. He's living the dream. He's got a beautiful girl that I think he just married, or he's about to marry. He plays video games all the time for a living, makes cash at it, and he's darn good at it. So anyway, he's got a chug jug filled with Kool-Aid. He had a big Q&A that they did on IGN today. Who's your favorite pro athlete? Who do you think he picked?
Favorite pro athlete? Who games a lot? Shit. Well, I'll say, you know what? Most of those people are like a little behind the times, so I'm going to say Adrian Peterson.
Okay, that's good. I thought you'd say Eric Hebron, but that's good. You didn't.
Oh, no, okay. Who's really good on Madden?
You got your Slay. Slay's a big gamer guy. He loves gaming. Yeah, he loves doing that. You got Diggs, I think.
Le'Veon Bell, maybe.
No, Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford, straight up. He's a big Stafford fan, man. So no, that was cool. It's this. I would love. We're doing a little bit of that play with the podcast on Thursday nights. Not doing this week, unfortunately, because I'm flying. But anytime you're in Xbox, it's spreading out like crazy now. It's both weekend nights typically, and Thursdays whenever I game. I'm just doing it as DET Lions Podcast on the Xbox. That's the gamer tag. It's the same tag as I use in Twitter, DET Lions Podcast. You can see I tweeted out the second time I played solo. So it's 100 people against each other, and I won. I was number one second time I played. I was number four the first time. So if you guys, you want to get up on my level, give me a yell, party up, we can play together, and maybe Ninja will give me a call, have me join, have a little fun.
That would be fun. So this guy dominates people online
destroys.
For a living.
Destroys. I saw him, he finished 15th in a tournament, right, and he made 10 grand or 15 grand. I'm like, I am in the wrong business. So I've been gaming, right, long before I was a Amazon customer, right? Online against people. And when I grew up, I was massive, massive into gaming. I was just born too early because I may have made gaming a career choice. This is just how much I did. Anyway, all right. I still got it. Let's move on.
Can you daisy chain all the computers together so you can play with your friends? Because I do remember doing that.
Yeah, we did. I actually even set my son up for his 7th birthday at a Minecraft party, and we did a LAN Minecraft party for all his buddies. They were in heaven. It was great.
I used to do Civilization 2 back in the day.
Yeah. You and Case, I tried to pull Case into Fortnite. He's like, you come play Civilization with me. Man. We got to get you two together doing some Civ.
That'll be fun.
Oh, man. All right. We'll get out of the personal and more into the team again. There's this guy, Frank Ragnu, Ragnow. That's it.
Right? Ragnow.
Yeah. I didn't notice who it was because he wasn't playing center. He was sitting there at left guard. What happened? This is exactly the same as Riley Reiff playing the left side, right? We saw him there, and they say, they're just putting him there for now. And then he played there all year, right? Is that what we're seeing?
Yep. It is what we're seeing. And my colleague at Lionswire, Eric Schlick, called this. Said, if you see him playing left guard in camp, he will be playing left guard in the regular season. I understand why. I disagree with the decision to do it. I think you make your players play where they're at their best.
Yep.
Instead, what the Lions are doing here is it's about Graham Glasgow being more comfortable at center. And that's probably true. He probably is better at center than he is at left guard. But the magnitude of how the difference between how he is at left guard and center is less than what the dynamic is of Ragnar taking over at center and kicking ass and taking names, where if he goes to left guard, he's probably average as a rookie.
What happens?
I think he has Pro Bowl potential as a rookie at center.
Yeah.
And the Lions are eschewing that for the comfort of Graham Glasgow. And I'm not crazy about the decision. I support why they're doing it, and I understand it, and I do think it will work, but I would go the opposite way there.
What, and I'm with you. I'm Chris, and I support this message. But the thing, or I guess we're not to that time of year yet. But the thing that I'm thinking about, or the question I have, is like, okay, fine. I am 100% with what you just said, Riz. What happens if it's not working, and say game 5 this year, they decide to switch them? How much of an impact is that going to make, and how long is it going to take for them to be able to fall in and play those positions okay? Are we stunting or hurting anything if we wind up having to make that position to play them where their comparative advantage actually lies?
That's a very good question. And honestly, I don't think we can really do anything other than guess the answer for it. Mm-hmm. My guess is that because there's stability around them, because Taylor Decker's back, because Lang and Wagner are back, and those guys are all pretty darn good players. They're all above average players. I think they will be able to handle enough that if there is a change, and it would happen in the bye week, that's when the Patriots did their changes. That's when, that if you're going to see a radical change like that, that's when it'll happen.
Right.
And that gives
unless
them time
it's,
practice.
Unless it's radically bad, right?
Right. Yeah, and or if there's an injury. An injury is a different thing. And what the hypothetical for me that I'm concerned about is, what if Graham Glasgow gets hurt at center? Does Ragnow stay at left guard, or does he move to center? This happened with the Texans a couple of years ago, and they had a really good young center in Nick Martin. and he got hurt. And rather than move things around, they had a really good left guard at the time. They brought in a backup center and kept their guard at guard, and it didn't work for them, unfortunately. So, right. That's where I'm curious about. You know, what if Glasgow either gets hurt or fails at center? Do you just bring in a backup center? Is it Leo Kolomatangi? Is it Wesley Johnson? Or do you move Ragnow there and bring in your backup left guard, who's probably Tyrell Crosby, who's probably better being a backup guard than your backup center is at being a backup center?
Right.
And I don't know Patricia's philosophy on that. That's a question that I will ask him at a presser when I'm up there.
There you go. Good
work. He will ignore it, but I will ask it.
Yeah, for real. You know, when I talk to him, he's going to bring his economics textbook because I'm pulling out my comparative advantage stuff, but he's going to make me pull out my rocket science textbook, and I don't have one, so I'm going to be screwed.
Yeah, I don't have one of those. Like, what I got was in statistics in college my freshman year when it was taught by a Vietnamese TA who wrote everything on the board. She didn't speak a lick of English. She wrote it up on the board, pointed at, you learn.
That's how my managerial finance class was. God, I did learn because I had to. So, oh well.
Yeah, I learned because I had a hot chick sitting behind me, and she liked to have me tutor her.
Speaking of hot chicks, have you heard about the training camp party? Detroit Lions podcast camp party and listener appreciation event.
It is. That's definitely what it is.
Tons coming. We got Sweaters coming. Did you see that?
I did see that. That's awesome. I'm looking forward to meeting her.
Kula, a bunch of them, a bunch of great Twitter friends are coming, and we're not trying to use the ladies as bait, guys, but you don't keep your hands off. I don't want you to get hurt. Just be
respectful, please.
Don't be like the show's hosts are on the show. No, it's going to be a great time. It's great to see some great people and friends from Twitter coming out, great listeners, great supporters over the time. Party's coming up. As of the point of this recording, you've got 3 days left to get your tickets. It's on August 4th, and get your tickets now. They go up $5 because they charge us $5 more. It's the way it is. We're charging you costs for dinner and the room and everything else. There's no profit margin or anything. Like I said, it's a listener appreciation thing. We got a ton of gift cards from Fanatics to give out. We got a signed Billy Sims football to give out. We got some other stuff going on. Jim Brandstetter has us on his calendar. He's barring.
Who's that?
Jimmy B. Jim Brandstetter. Brandy.
It's the Brandy coming. Man.
Yeah. And we may do something a little special for him, too, just as a big thank you for all his years that he's given us as fans. So be around for that. Make sure to give him some love while he's there. But he's coming to hang out with us and have a bite and maybe a beer. And maybe we can get him on the live podcast, do some talking, some chatting. Maybe we can ply him with alcohol beforehand, Riz, and get all the dirt on Miller.
It'll be a short convo. Dan last year sat down with us and was the best guy. Yeah. Had people that weren't even with our group coming up and talking to him, and couldn't have been better.
Yeah, there's no dirt. It's gonna be such a short conversation.
Yeah, it is.
Oh well. Anyway,
the thing you get out of him is that he's a Washington Nationals fan.
Yeah,
that's like the worst thing that you need to know about Dan Miller.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, Brandy's coming, barring something horrible. I guess we got to put that there, but he's coming to join us as well and have some fun and talk to us and hang out with everybody. So make sure to do that. Like I said, great giveaways, dinner. If you get everything in advance, the whole event, the room and a dinner and any soft drinks you want, it's a $25 ticket. And then you get in, it's $30 at the door. So, get your tickets early. It's Detroit Lions podcast. All the
pizza you can eat. And I'm reliably told that this pizza is going to make you want to take your pants off.
It's, it's the fancy kind. It's not just like. It's
not this Domino's. Isn't like Domino's crap. No, I shouldn't say that. Domino's isn't half bad. It's not Jets.
It's nothing like anything you get on delivery. Let's put it that way. This is really good stuff. And then all the sides and all this stuff, all other stuff will be out there. It's going to be great. Riz went and scoped the place out, checked, and they don't block the porn, so you're good with your Wi-Fi. It should be a good time. The only thing they ask is don't film anything happening that couldn't be on YouTube. Okay, so that's the one rule. That's the one rule we have. And treat Jim nicely because Jim's great. So head on out.
Be nice to Jim.
DetroitLionsPodcast.com. You'll see the training camp party up at the top. Click on that and or on the hamburger button on your mobile. Get in, get on, and have a great time. It's going to be a blast, and I think you guys will really be happy you got there. It's going to be cool. All right, so speaking of parties, we're having a going away party for Mr. Biznavity And he's been dropped on the roster, and we signed. I mean, this is a huge signing. This, you know, we talked about Ragnow, we talked about Graham Glasgow, but Jamar McGloster, thanks Waxo for posting this, now has, I think, put the final piece in place for this line. Number one all time? Are we talking Hall of Fame, all five of them go at the same time?
He is huge, quite literally. He's a legit 6'7", probably a little bit taller than that. I actually think Biznavity might have even been bigger. But Jamar McGloster. I actually interviewed this guy at the Shrine Game this year. He's from Syracuse, and I called him Jamal, and he politely corrected me, which was nice of him. And he's bigger than me, which there's not a lot of people that are.
Well, he's from Syracuse. That's why he was polite.
Yes, he was. He was. He was feelingly polite. And you'll note that there's a Syracuse connection. Where would Pal Pasqualoni come from? Syracuse. Mm-hmm. Or Boston College, but it has Syracuse roots. Where does Matt Patricia have roots? Syracuse. Yep. There's a lot of Syracuse influence. So I will tell you that I thought he was undraftable when I watched him on film in prep for the Shrine Game. And the last time I saw him, he was leaving the Shrine Game field in an ambulance with his shoulder in a sling. And he said, "I can't feel my fingers." And that's literally the last time I've seen him. Apparently, he's recovered enough to pass a physical and get on the field. But my expectations are pretty low. I actually thought Adam Biznavity had a fair shot at making this team. I liked him when he was in college. He went to Pitt. He could play guard or tackle. Apparently not either of those better than Dan Skipper, which is a little scary because Dan Skipper, all 6'10 of him, can't play tackle at all. They're trying to move him to guard. That's not going well. He might not be around by the time you listen to this show. He probably won't be around by the time that we do the party.
By the time we re-sign Biznavity.
Yeah, or yeah, I mean, there are some there's an odd amount of free agency moves today around the league of guys getting signed, you know, lesser players. The Browns signed four guys today. I don't think the Lions are done making moves. I do think they're going to make some more cosmetic changes to the bottom of the roster.
That's going to go on forever, right? That's
90 on the 90-man roster.
That's the Quinn MO, though. Even, I mean, it'll be December and he'll be tweaking the bottom of the roster, right?
Yes.
So I don't think there's going to be anything strange about that. And I like that. I like that whole concept. So, yeah, that's
what it is. I don't have a problem with doing it. If the guy doesn't work, get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the philosophy that I'm glad that they're embracing that. That does seem to be a Quinn thing, and that's a Patriot way thing too. If a guy isn't working out right away, even if it's like I remember they cut my boy Taylor Bryce as a third round pick after his first year coming out of Ohio University because he just wasn't any good.
Yeah,
they figured out quickly they will rip the Band-Aid off and they'll lop the limb off and you know, like an octopus, it'll grow back. You know, it's not like it's going to fester there and die and kill the rest of the organism around it. They're very good about doing that. I like that.
That's a pretty violent metaphor. Boy, I'm a little shaken.
I've been hanging out with my family for a while.
Maybe I should be stirred.
And I've been at Browns training camp having Greg Williams curse nonstop at me. Not at me, but around me. And it makes me generally hostile because he's a hostile individual.
Yeah, yeah. So by
the
way,
Browns, y'all are going to want to watch the Browns on Hard Knocks this year. Aside from the fact that you'll see me, by the way, wearing Detroit Lions colors in the background in my media credentials, nice. They are a fun team. You're going to want to watch them.
That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. All right, let's talk a little bit about what's coming. We talked about the party, and that's going to be a grand, grand experience.
Saturday night, see you there.
But
we'll sell you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
Oh, very nice. Very good. We've also got something else. I mean, we're going to be in camp. Let's talk about that. You're showing up on Friday as well, right? We're both going to be there Friday?
I'll be there Friday morning. Yes.
Friday, Saturday, and then Monday are the times I'll be at camp. Is that the same for you?
I'm being there for all those as well. And then I will be there for the week when the Giants are in town too, nice. Which is not the following week when they're in Seattle, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's the week after. It's like the teen week, like the 14th, 15th, 16th. I will be at all those sessions as well.
Nice, nice. It's my birthday on the 15th, so say something nice.
Oh, happy birthday. Yeah. You'll be legally allowed to drink that stuff now.
Yeah, yeah, that's what's going to happen. All right. So make sure Twitter's always the best way to get in touch with us. We're pretty wide open there. But if you're going to be at camp at any of those days, would love to say hi, hang out. If you can't make the party, especially come and say hi and just shake hands. Love hanging out with everybody who listens to the show. You guys are the very, very best. And, you know, this is just a little fun project that we do. And we started kicking off and people started liking it. And I was like, uh-oh, we gotta do something with this now. And now here we are. So anyway, thanks all for listening. And thanks for telling your friends about the show. We're going to wrap it up for this week. Thank you, Riz, again, for filling in for Case. Remember, folks, we're looking for your involvement. Use the comments in the subreddit, DetroitLions.reddit.com. Give us your feedback. Let us know what you think of the show. And we take that to heart, and we try to improve based on that. Also, the Patreon thing. Don't forget, a lot of new stuff out for Patreon donors. It's a great time to be a Patreon peep. Patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast. Patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast or DetroitLionsPodcast.com. And the Patreon link right there on the main page. Sign up as little as $1 a month. They'll get you hooked up for a lot of the great stuff that we're doing there. So everyone that's there already, thank you so much. And I'm glad we're able to start really kicking some good stuff back. Also, if you want to be a sponsor, the regular season is a great time to do it. We have a couple people that are coming in as real sponsors. Thank you. We appreciate it. If you have a product, a service, a company, a YouTube channel, whatever you have, as long as it isn't barnyard porn, we'll go ahead and handle a sponsorship agreement with you. Just give a ring.
Yes. Avoid that, please.
Keep some things you keep to yourself. So, hook us up. We'll be able to work out a deal with you and get something going. And it's a great time. And we love supporting the folks that support us, too. So it's our opportunity to do that. Also, make sure to check us out on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. And on the Twitter Meet. The Twitter machine at DET Lions Podcast. DET Lions Podcast. The very best place to see the Riz.
With no pants.
That's always the best. I can't wait to wear bra. Remember holding hands last year in the Uber after the party? All that training camp time underneath us? And
I remember that I got out of a car and that's about it. You weren't there anymore.
And neither were your pants. Anyway, it's a great time. Check us out. I got to give a big shout out and thank you to Joel Bartlett at Rapid City Repo. Got some really killer stickers. That's another reason to come see us at training camp. I got some great stickers we're going to be handing out to people if you'd like them. So let me know. And we'll be getting those out to others as well. It's a really cool little piece of swag we have. And they're really, really well done. You like the Looney Tunes thing, you're going to love this. This is awesome. All right, if you want to get in touch with us, give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or give us a call on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. And be sure to give us a call, go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast, so whoever shows up to do the show can come in your little box automatically. Who wouldn't want that? Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bag, start the plane. This show is over.
Hey, Dean Blandino here, and I can tell you unequivocally, that call was 100% wrong.
In today's show, I didn't write any of that shit down. Fuck me. I'll just try to wing it.